Seeking a motion to reconvene?
So moved.
By Mark Freda. And a second?
I'll second it.
By John Higgin.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? We're back in general session.
Well, good evening, everybody. We actually started the meeting tonight at 6:30, a half hour early. We had a 30-minute executive session, and now we're reconvening the regular board meeting. We're going to move on to president's comments. Tonight, we have a presentation by the CTMS World Language Students. Hi, guys. Thank you for coming. couple other comments. I just wanted to recognize that Dr. Clark informed me today was the last official day of NJS testing. And I wanted to thank all of the staff, the teachers, the therapists, the administrators, the parents,
nurses,
and the kids for all your hard work and attention getting through the AS testing period. And I'm also noting that this, I believe, is going to be our last NJS test. We'll move on to a different testing format next year as we understand it. So if there's any consolation, that was your last NJS test. Tonight, I also wanted to recognize the fact that this is our last Public Board of Education meeting before the end of the school year. So again, thank you to all the staff, the school administrators, the maintenance staff, the custodial staff, everyone that helps us make this a successful school and a successful school year. And thank you, Dr. Clark, for your leadership this year in making this another successful school year.
It's been my pleasure.
We have an invitation that was extended to the Board of Education. We have a STEM presentation this week here in the middle school. I'll just read it. Clinton Township Middle School 7th grade science students and teachers invite you to the 7th grade science, technology, engineering, and math day. That'll be this Wednesday, May 22nd, 12 to 1:30. Obviously, it's for the students, their family, and their siblings are welcome. And it's being coordinated by Mr. Ferranti and Ms. Selbo. So thank you, and it looks like an interesting day. I won't be able to make it, but I encourage any board members who can to please try to get there. We're going to go ahead and move right into the presentation by the CTMS World Language Students. Kids.
También hay la Día de Guadalupe. Es un día muy
seat.
Very good.
Wow. Kids, can we ask you some questions before you go?
You bring any food samples?
Kids, can one of you please introduce your teachers?
Okay. Esta es mi maestra. This is my teacher, Senora Kirchi, and another one of our 8th grade Spanish teachers, Senora Baylon.
Thank you very much. Thank you, guys. You did a great job. Okay, thank you again, kids. Moving on to the report of the Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Clark.
Thank you. Great job, kids. So proud of our kids and our teachers. Before I begin, I would just like to take a moment for all of you to just focus your thoughts for a few minutes on a town in Oklahoma, Moore, Oklahoma, where today a terrible tornado touched down for over 35 minutes. And there were two elementary schools with students and staff within them that were reduced to rubble. And they're searching for those students and staff as we speak. And when I heard it this evening, it really got to me because that's ours. Those are all our kids and our staff and colleagues. So I just wanted to take a moment to think about them and send them our good thoughts and hope that those kids and those staff members made it because I saw some pictures of parents searching for their children and it was almost unbearable to watch. I'd like to move on to some more positive news. This past week, I had the wonderful opportunity to be at the middle school concert. Band concert. And I really would like to compliment Steve Schaefer and Rich Tariff and their students. It really demonstrated, in my eyes, the breadth and the depth of the music program and department. It started with a string orchestra. Full string orchestra that took up the entire stage. It went on to Valley Ringers, to a jazz band, to a rock band and Camarada Singers doing a Queen number, to a full concert band playing Lady Gaga. They really ran the gamut of skills and strengths. And I have to admit, having been to an uncountable number of concerts in my day, I was incredibly pleased to see the amount of work those kids and those teachers put in to get the students to where they were. So I just wanted to make sure that I spoke about how impressive they were. I also wanted to share that I attended a celebration that of the Foundation of Excellence funded a study buddy program at both Spruce Run School and Patrick McGarren. And while I was there, I had the opportunity to speak to some parents. And one of them shared that when they first heard that their child was going to be part of this program, they weren't terribly impressed with the idea. And they didn't think too much of it. And as their child continued in the program and bonded with their study buddy and started to read more and more, they started to think, you know, maybe there's something to this. And then one night they shared that they walked into their child's room, and there was their child sitting with a pile of books, reading out loud, very proud of themselves, and with expression, and no longer a reluctant reader, but a very proud reader. And so I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge the Study Buddy program. There are many teachers and parents and volunteers who work very hard to make this program happen in our schools. And I just wanted to say thank you to all of them. When that mom told the story, I got chills because I could just see that reluctant reader sitting there on the floor with those books. And it felt really good to know that something happened in our schools that moved that child forward. So I know Mrs. Grant is here. She's worked very hard with that program. If you would please share that story with some of the foundation people and the parents who volunteer, I'd appreciate it because it really, I thought, was important. Now let me go on to the enrollment report. We're at 1625. We're standing pretty steady, up a couple, but steady. We do, unfortunately, have some suspensions that occurred. We have one-day suspension and 1 2-day in-school suspension, so Patrick McGarren. We have 1 3-day out-of-school suspension at Round Valley School, and 3 1-day in-school suspensions at CTMS. We also have some HIB reports. We have one investigation at CTMS determined not to be HIV. 2 investigations at Round Valley School determined not to be HIV. And 3 investigations at Patrick McGarren School, 1 determined to be HIV. Thank you.
Thank you for your report, Dr. Clark. I'm seeking a motion for action item 13SU016.
So moved.
By Maria Grant, and a second.
Second.
By Michelle Sullivan. Ms. Spitzer, could you do a roll call?
Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McGoy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Oh, yes, motion carries.
Okay, at this time, we're moving on to public comments, agenda items only. If any member of the public wishes to speak before the Board of Education on agenda items only, please approach the mic, tell us your name, where you live, and try to restrict your comments to 3 minutes. This is public comments on agenda items only. Okay, seeing no comments at this time. Moving on to the first recognition of the public. At this time, anyone from the public, if you would like to speak before the Board of Ed about any topic, it does not have to be on the agenda. Please approach one of the microphones, tell us your name and where you live, and try to restrict your comments to 3 minutes if you can. Okay, this is first recognition of the public. Comments on any items don't have to be on the agenda. There'll be additional time for public comments later in the meeting. Okay, seeing no comments at this time, we're going to move on to the report of the school business administrator, Mrs. Spitzer.
From an informational perspective, our next Board of Education meeting will be held here on Monday, June 24th at 7:30 p.m. at the Clinton Township Middle School Auditorium. For your approval this evening are the minutes of April 29th, 2013, as well as the executive session meeting minutes for April 29th. You will also have for approval this evening Board Secretary's and Treasurer's report for April 30th, as well as the line item transfers for April 30th.
Okay, I'm seeking a motion for action items 13BA 038 through 13BA 041.
So moved.
By Kevin Malloy. And a second, please.
Second.
By Michelle Sullivan. Could we please have a roll call?
Ms. Cresti?
I abstain to BA 39 and yes to 40 and 41. Oh, I'm sorry. I abstain to 38 and yes to 39, 40, and 41.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Abstain for 38, yes to the rest.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Moving on to our committee reports. The first committee report is the Facilities and Finance Committee. Kevin Malloy is the chair of that committee. Mr. Malloy, could you please give us a report on the activities of your committee since the last board meeting?
Certainly. The Facilities and Finance Committee met on May 7th to discuss a number of items. Much of the meeting was directed at two items, particularly insurance, both property casualty, as well as employee benefits, and an update on a preliminary report we received from our architect of record, Brett Somjan, outlining preliminary items related to facilities upgrade and site-wide improvements. Taking the second part first, we reviewed these proposals and estimates for safety, security, and facilities improvements, and we are going to continue to review these this now and prioritize those items that we have identified as immediate and necessary in combination with the Ad Hoc Safety Committee, which Mr. Higgins leads for us on the board. The Board of Education as a whole, and the administration, namely Dr. Clark and Mrs. Spitzer. We do expect to have a busy summer. You will be seeing a lot of changes to this summer, we expect, related to things that are going to be happening to the various buildings in terms of upgrades, some of them very visible, some of them very not. For example, a new phone system is being installed. It's on the agenda tonight. It is, if you remember from our budget presentations this past March, it's something that we decided was not only good business, it was good from a facilities and security perspective. Without getting too into the weeds, basically what it does is it allows anybody in the building to call lockdown anytime they're near a phone. That's critical. New hardware at the facilities that's ADA compliant and enables our educators and administrators the ability to securely close spaces, particularly those spaces with children, as well as some other items including fencing. I believe there's some pothole repair in that. So, yeah, that's happening. Related to insurance, we had several discussions. We're going to be reviewing the levels of service that we're getting from our current insurance agents and brokers. We are in the middle, as far as property and casualty goes, we are in the midst of a three-year contract related to terms and conditions. So, any potential issues that we have or any discussions we have with service providers were related to simply that. That would be service advice and counsel. We cannot expect to see in the middle of a three-year term, and Mrs. Spitzer, please correct me if I'm off base, we cannot expect to see any midterm cost reductions on property and casualty. We are also, and this is on the agenda tonight, going to be engaging the services of an employee benefits insurance consultant. It's a national organization named Brown & Brown, with whom several members of the administration have had prior and positive dealings. The thought process behind this is that, particularly now, with full implementation of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act expected for January 1, PPACA or Obamacare, the waters get very, very muddy as to maintaining compliance, offering benefit programs that are compliant, and managing upward moving expenses. For those of you in the know, employee benefit expenses don't fluctuate. They go in one direction over the past decade or more, and that is up. The engagement of a consultant is going to help us navigate those waters more effectively. A couple other quick agenda items to talk about tonight. A couple of out-of-district placement items that you will see. Those, of course, are budgeted. One quick item, I think, on the cafeteria. There is a change tonight in our agenda related to cafeteria rates. That is simply the correction of a typo from last month's public meeting, and we regret the error. So with that in mind, we have a relatively light slate of action items to pass tonight relative to some prior public meetings. So I seek a motion on action items 13FF 165 through 13FF 179.
So moved.
By Mark Frieda.
Thank you.
Second.
By Maria Grant. Any discussion on action items FF 165 through FF 179?
Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Mr. Frieda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay, moving on to personnel and negotiations. I want to speak for a minute before we go into the committee chairman's report. Also in this segment of the meeting, before we go into action items, we have an informal personnel hearing. When we get to that segment, I'll summarize the purpose of the hearing and the format. Mr. McTiernan, could you please start with a summary of the activities of your committee since the last board meeting?
Certainly. You just want a summary and not a vote on the items?
That's all we're agreed to do.
I thought we were going to have the hearing
the
first.
Okay. Okay, we're going to switch up a bit. We're going to move on. Okay. We're going to move on to the informal personnel hearing. We have a staff member, Barbara King, who was not recommended for a contract renewal by Dr. Clark. As part of the process, Ms. King has the ability to come before the board to have an informal public hearing. She has elected to come before the board for this hearing. It's a 30-minute hearing. The format is that Ms. King will speak to the board. It's not interactive in nature. Subsequent to her speaking, Dr. Clark will have an opportunity to speak to the board as well. At that time, if any action is seen to be warranted by a board member, a motion can be made to contradict Dr. Clark's recommendation. That's the process that we're going to go through. I'm also going to ask Vito Gagliardi, the board attorney, to review the process as he understands it.
Thank you, Mr. President. Those 30 minutes that you described are basically for Mrs. King and anyone representing her this evening to present information they would like the board to consider in determining whether or not to take action to offer a contract of employment, the absence of a recommendation from the administration notwithstanding. So I don't know if Mrs. King and her representatives are here and they want to come forward, but this would be the time for that. As you correctly noted, Mr. President, this hearing is not required. It's something the teacher elected to do, as is their right. They elected to do it publicly, which is their right. But it's an opportunity for them to present information to the board. So it's not a hearing per se in the sense there's no cross-examination. It's an informal exchange of information. And then after the presentation from Mrs. King and her representatives, there's an opportunity for the superintendent to respond if and as she sees fit, and then an opportunity for the board to discuss and consider action if the board so chooses. If the board takes no action, then the hearing is essentially concluded. The due process has taken place, and we can move forward with the rest of the meeting.
Thank you for the explanation.
Thank you, Mr. President.
So Ms. King?
Thank you for allowing me the time to make this presentation to you today. As a guide to my presentation, I will be handing out books that will be collected at the end. But first, before we look at those books, I'm going to begin by talking very briefly about the Danielson Framework. There are four copies of the Danielson Framework being passed out that you can share among yourselves and use as a reference. The district uses the framework for teaching created by Charlotte Danielson to define and describe what teachers should know and be able to do in the exercise of their profession. It rates teachers' performance in several domains, with each domain consisting of various components. In total, there are four domains and 22 components. The four domains and 22 components of the Danielson Framework have been used to assess teacher performance since I have been with the district. This year, the fully implemented Danielson Framework also includes use of the language found in the framework. All evaluators are to use the same language. You can see examples of this language in those four copies of the framework that you are circulating among yourselves. The reason for this is so that there is a consistency in the language that is used by various administrators in teacher evaluations. Based on the language that is used in the evaluation, the teacher is rated as basic, proficient, or distinguished. There is also an unsatisfactory category. In the district, teachers have been told that they should live in the proficient rating and visit the distinguished rating. For new probationary teachers, like myself, who are new to teaching, they are expected to get a few basic ratings. They should not live in basic. But the philosophy of the Danielson Framework is that there is a mentoring process taking place where a new and good teacher is learning to be an even better teacher. Even a tenured teacher might score a basic or two once in a while. Does that mean that he or she is not a good teacher when all of the other ratings for that teacher are proficient or even distinguished? It was never the intention of Charlotte Danielson that her framework be used as a gotcha and a way to punish good teachers. My understanding is her framework was designed to help good teachers become even better teachers. Over 3 years, my Spanish classes have been observed, and I have received written evaluations based on these observations from various administrators. These evaluations show that I am a highly effective teacher who lives in that proficient rating. It is not just one or two or three reports, but the overwhelming majority of all eight of these evaluation reports written by different administrators that say that I am a very good, proficient teacher. I am going to begin now with those spiral-bound books. If you will turn to the blue tab is where my evaluations start, and the first one is dated 11-11-10. You will see in the left margin that I have gone through and equated this evaluation with the rating system of the Danielson Framework. And you will see, if you flip through the pages of this evaluation, that this teacher is overwhelmingly proficient. It's my first evaluation, my first year in the district. Turn to the next evaluation. It's dated January 19, 2011. If you look at the rating at the left of each component, you will see that it is proficient throughout and maybe even a distinguished on the bottom of the first page. Glance at the highlighted words in the summary at the bottom of page 3. The next one is dated March 8, 2011. The actual evaluation begins on the next page, if you want to turn the page there. This is from the principal at Spruce Run School. You will see that each component is given a rating of P for proficient and one on the next page might even include a distinguished. It's an overwhelmingly positive report. Look at the summary at the bottom of page 3. It's extremely positive and applauds the teacher for knowing her students, incorporating activities and technology that students can relate to, engage, and motivate them. After page 4 of this evaluation, turn just that page. And this is where year 2 of my evaluation starts. That next one is just a one-pager. There is no evaluation there. It is a note from the principal stating that I was observed by the former superintendent, but I never received a written evaluation. I will say, though, that when Mr. Carroll observed my lesson, he was moving around the room, observing the students' work, and when he left, he smiled. He gave me a big thumbs up, and he said gracias and adios. In a post-observation conversation I had with Mr. Carroll, he applauded me on my use of Spanish because the lesson was conducted almost entirely in Spanish and commented that the students enjoyed and were engaged in the activities. Based on this, I have to assume if there was an evaluation, it would be a positive one and rate me as proficient. The next evaluation is dated 1-18-12. Please turn there. 1-18-12. And this is from the principal. Again, you will see that the overwhelming majority of the ratings here are proficient. There are 18 proficient and 4 B ratings in here. Now, world language experts would give this a 19 proficient out of 22, not an 18, because the students I teach are a novice low level. I got a B for basic in the techniques, question and answer techniques, that's domain 3B in the Danielson framework. Students that I teach at the novice low level, they cannot ask questions of one another unless they are memorized. They certainly cannot interact with one another in Spanish. They simply do not have the language skills to do that. I am sure that Charlotte Danielson was not thinking about world language teachers when she wrote this Q&A component, because it would not apply in the way that it is worded here. What's really important about this evaluation, though, is looking at the development plans. Turn there, please. It's on the last page of this report, the development plans. This is what Charlotte Danielson means about the mentoring. This evaluation says you are living overwhelmingly in proficient, but you have a couple of things here that are basic that you need to work on. If you would now flip, skipping past my response to this evaluation, to the evaluation report dated March 21st, 2012. This is the end of last year. This is again an evaluation by the principal. It's the same evaluator, right after the evaluation I've just taken you through. You can see in that evaluation that every single component has been given a proficient rating. It is an excellent evaluation report. Please glance at the summary at the bottom of page 3. It describes students who are engaged in the activities and engaged throughout the lesson. A teacher who is comfortable with the Spanish language and should be commended for sharing her enthusiasm with students. And here's what's most important. You have worked to effectively incorporate suggestions from previous discussions. So in the previous evaluation, where it was overwhelmingly proficient and there were a couple of basics that I needed to focus on, this is the subsequent evaluation report that is all proficient. It's all proficient, and it says, you have worked to effectively incorporate suggestions from previous discussions. This is what Charlotte means by the mentoring. Let's go to the beginning of this year. My first evaluation is dated 11-15-12. If you would turn there, it's dated 11-15-12. It's an excellent evaluation report. Every component is proficient, and there are even a few distinguished ratings. Please take a look quickly at the highlighted words in the summary at the end of page 3. The next one is dated 1-29-13. Again, overwhelmingly proficient with 3 basic ratings And one of those, again, if you polled world language experts, would be moved to a proficient because it was a basic that was given in the Q&A techniques component. The students are not able to have, quote, thoughtful discussion. They cannot have genuine discussions. They simply do not have the language skills to do that. If you skip over my response to that observation, and let's go to my last evaluation report dated March 25th, 2013, and please pause there, and let's not look at that yet. I want to recap. My evaluations over the past 3 years that I've just taken you through based on the Danielson framework show that I am a proficient and, in some cases, distinguished teacher. These evaluations have been conducted by various administrators, and there is agreement among these observers, based on these written reports, that I am a teacher who lives in proficient, as the district tells us we should. My end-of-the-year evaluation, signed by the principal, that we haven't gotten to yet, but will, support this proficient rating as well. Please fold the page back on the March 25th evaluation so you can find it again quickly, and turn to the very end of the book, the very last page, and there is a score sheet there on the left-hand side. At the very end of the book, on the left-hand side, is a score sheet. Let's look at these evaluations. Remember, there are 22 components that a teacher is assessed on. Evaluation 1, year 1, 20 proficient out of 22. Evaluation 2, 22 proficient out of 22 with one distinguished. It's a perfect score. Evaluation 3, 21 proficient, including one distinguished out of 22. Let's look at year 2. Evaluation 1, there's no report. Evaluation 2, 19 proficient out of 22. Evaluation 3, 22 proficient out of 22. It's a perfect score. Year 3, evaluation 1, it's a 22 proficient out of 22, including one distinguished. It's a perfect score. Evaluation 2, 20 out of 22. These are all very good evaluations with scores in the proficient category of 20 out of 22, 21 out of 22, and several with perfect scores of 22 out of 22. Now let's flip back to where you folded back the page to that last evaluation. The last evaluation is dated March 25th, 2013. I received this on March 25th. Just to be clear, this is 19 school days before teacher contracts are to be renewed and tenure is awarded to non-tenured teachers by the Board of Education. I've been in the district 3 years, and 19 days before I'm to get my tenure, I received this evaluation. In this same meeting, it was a 15-minute meeting, that I was given this evaluation report, I was told that I was not going to be recommended for contract renewal, and therefore my tenure would be denied. This last evaluation shows a teacher who would not have survived 3 years teaching without at least one administrator calling her to task on her poor level of performance. This last of my evaluation reports is in stark contrast to all the others I have taken you through. Of the 22 components in this report, 9 of them received a basic rating. That's almost half of the components that a teacher is assessed on are being rated as basic. There's also an interesting pattern in this evaluation report. With the exception of one proficient component, in all of the components that are scored with a B for basic, the language, the common language of the Danielson framework is missing, the language has been changed, or language has been added. In all of the components marked with a P for proficient, the language is lifted exactly, word for word, from the Danielson framework, as it should be. One has to ask, why is that? Why is the language different? Why is language missing? Why has language been changed or added, and only in the cases where the rating is B for basic? The uniqueness of the Danielson framework is that evaluators are to use the same common language, so that the teacher can be rated based on the language as basic, proficient, or distinguished. It is my understanding that the administrators received extensive training on how to evaluate teachers using this language and rating system. This is not the case here. This is a confusing evaluation. Most of the write-up in this report is not based on language from the Danielson framework, but rather on quoting me, repeating what I said to students during the lesson. The quotes used are cherry-picked from the larger context of the lesson that is not available to you as the reader. I'm not sure what is intended by this. Is there an agenda here to perhaps use different language to discredit me as a teacher and then to use this evaluation as grounds to deny me tenure? There is no other evaluation report that I have that is like this one in any way, in that it consists primarily of repeating what I said during the lesson rather than using specific framework language to evaluate my performance. I'm not sure why this was done or what was intended here, other than perhaps to use this as a case for not recommending me for contract renewal. I do not have a videotape or a DVD of this last lesson that resulted in this evaluation. If I did, I could share it with you and perhaps with a panel of teachers and other administrators who may see this lesson very differently from the way it is described here and rate it as overwhelmingly proficient. I don't have a videotape. There are no witnesses to this lesson. All I can say is, given that all of my evaluations to this point have consistently rated me as a proficient teacher, certainly for this last observation, before I'm to receive tenure, I would have pulled out all the stops to make the last lesson equally as good to all of the others and then some. It's very disturbing. It's very odd. There's something not right about the fact that all of my other evaluations have rated me with almost perfect scores, one or two basics, and several with perfect scores. On this one, almost half of the components I'm being rated on score me as basic. It just doesn't make any sense. If you will turn now to the very end of your book, there is a PowerPoint slide there, and it's titled Charlotte Speaks. And Charlotte Danielson is being asked a question by a reporter about how do you know when your framework works well, is working well in a district? And she responds, and I'll read this aloud. Let me give you a story of when it's not done well. I was contacted early on by a large urban district in New Jersey that had a horrible evaluation system. It was top-down and arbitrary and punitive and sort of gotcha. And they developed a new one based on my book. It was her evaluation system. And it was top-down and arbitrary and punitive. All they did was exchange one set of evaluative criteria for another. They did nothing to change the culture surrounding evaluation. It was very much something done to teachers, an inspection used to penalize or punish teachers whom the principal didn't like. Let's turn the page and look at the first bullet on the next page, please. This again is Charlotte. It says here, the text starts with, Scheckman's point is one emphasized by Danielson time and again. Evaluators need to demonstrate they know their stuff. The minute this is high stakes, and certainly compensation would qualify as high stakes, as would dismissal or denial of tenure, it's enormously important that anyone making the judgment demonstrate that they are capable of doing so, that they will be accurate, reliable, and valid, said Danielson. I don't think this last evaluation is in line with the others in terms of being accurate, reliable, and valid. If you will now turn to the red tab in the book, the red tab, that is where my end of year evaluations begin. The first one is dated school year 2010-2011. You can see there is a long and positive list of areas of strength. And on the next page, a very short list of areas that the principal says I need to focus on. In fact, there are only three bullets my first year that I need to focus on. On the last page, you will see that this is signed by the principal, and the box that says contract to be renewed is checked off. Look at the next evaluation. This next year-end evaluation is dated 2011-2012. And you will see there's another long and positive list of areas of strength. In the areas of focus on the next page, there's only one bullet from the principal that she says should be an area of focus for me. All those other bullets there are things that I would like to continue to focus on. On the last page, this is also signed by the principal, and the box that says contract to be renewed is checked off. Now let's look at the last report dated 2012-2013. This report was given to me on Wednesday, April 24th, 4 days prior to the April 29th board meeting where contracts will be renewed. If you're thinking that it looks very different than the previous 2 year-end evaluations, you're right. The list of strengths from the principal is very short. Please go to page 2. Let's look at the areas of focus. Last year, remember, there was only one short bullet for me to focus on from the principal. The year before, as a first-year teacher in the district, there were 3 short bullets from the principal for me to focus on. This year, there are 7 long bullets of areas that I need to focus on, and they are all over the lot, from behavior to pacing to transitions to student engagement to methodology, you name it, and it's in this list. Let's turn the page to my response to this evaluation report. It starts after page 5 of the evaluation and says, Barbara King, response to 2012-2013 end-of-year evaluation report. Barbara King, response to 2012-2013 end-of-year evaluation report is the title. I won't take you through each one, but just glancing down the list under areas of strength, you can see how different the language even is from previous years. The first line is the way the language is in this year's evaluation report. The 2 bullets under it are the way that same idea was conveyed last year and the year before. Turn to the next page. Skip the paragraphs in the middle of page 2 of my response and look at the next set of bullets starting with solid knowledge of subject matter. All those items that are listed there are not included as areas of strength in this end-of-year evaluation report, but were included as areas of strength in 2010-2011 and 2011-2012 year-end evaluations. I have gone from having many strong points over 2 consecutive years to having very few in this last review just prior to tenure. How did I have all of these teacher strengths listed on page 2 and page 3 to having none of these listed by the principal in year 3, just prior to tenure? If we had time, I could take you through my response to the areas of focus section and show you how they have been plucked from very good evaluation reports, taken out of context, and in some cases taken from the development plan, not from any of the domains or the components that the teacher is assessed on, but from the development plan at the end of the report and put in here. It's very disturbing to me what is taking place here, and hopefully as board members, it's disturbing to you too. And I would think something that a district wouldn't want to be associated with. The facts that I have just shared with you, my evaluations over the past 3 years, show that I am a proficient and in some cases distinguished teacher. These evaluations have been conducted by various administrators, and there is agreement among these observers, based on their written evaluation reports, that I am a teacher who lives in the proficient area, as the district says we should. My end of the year evaluation signed by the principal support this proficient rating as well. If there was a problem with my teaching, why didn't an administrator catch it at the end of year 1 and not renew my contract? If there was a problem with my teaching, then why didn't an administrator tell me about it at the end of year 2? What about the middle of year 3? The answer is because there wasn't a problem. My evaluations and my year-end evaluations are very good. They show that I am a very good, highly effective, proficient teacher. to wait 19 days before I am to receive my tenure to tell me that there's a problem with my teaching is not right. It's not just, and I believe it's not ethical. And I'm not sure what criteria was used to arrive at this decision. I know that in my March 25th meeting, where I was given this last evaluation and told I was not going to be recommended for contracting renewal, I expressed utter shock and asked what criteria was being used to arrive at this decision. I was told that I was, quote, not a good fit. What does that mean? Am I too young? Am I too old? Is it my hair color? The criteria should be, am I a good teacher? Do my students learn? Do my evaluations show that I am a very good, highly effective teacher? That's the criteria that should be used to renew teacher contracts. If it's something other than that, I would think that that is something the district would not want to be associated with, letting good teachers go because they are, quote, not a good fit. When it comes to something high stakes, like a teacher's contract being renewed, and particularly tenure, I believe this decision should not be based on one administrator's arbitrary and whimsical recommendation to the superintendent. This is my life. I love my job. I love teaching. I love to come to work each day. I love interacting with the kids. I love those aha moments where they can respond to my questions in Spanish. I love everything about it. It's my life. And to me, it's a job worth fighting for, and that's why I'm here. If you had asked me on March 24th if I was getting my tenure, I would have said absolutely. I've done a good job. I have good evaluations. I've worked hard. I've done everything right. This has been a horrible ordeal that I have been put through. I'm not sure why I've been targeted and why I've had to endure this. The physical, emotional toll that this has taken on me and on my family has been unbelievable. It's been humiliating to have my reputation as a teacher discredited and ruined. Why? I don't know why. I don't know why I have been put through this. Because, quote, I'm not a good fit. Denial of tenure has permanently damaged my career forever. I am damaged goods. On every teacher application, there is a standard question that asks, have you ever been denied tenure? There's another one that asks, have you ever been denied contract renewal? I will have to answer yes to these questions. If I am an administrator culling through job applications, I'm going to hit the delete button when I come to that one. It will be very difficult, if not impossible for me, to find another permanent full-time teaching position as a result of this. The saddest part of all of this is that I am a very good teacher. My contract should have been renewed, and I should have been awarded tenure. I know that you were allowed 3 days to think about this before you make your decision. I respectfully ask that you take the 3 days to give your full consideration to what I've said here today, to weigh the facts that attest to my teaching proficiency, and then make your decision. Again, thank you for this opportunity to present my facts, and I thank you for your time and consideration in this decision. The books will now be collected. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. King. Dr. Clark, could you please speak about your opinions relating to your decision about Ms. King's employment?
Yes. Non-tenured teachers are observed by multiple administrators over 3 years. Exactly as Mrs. King described. A review of these observations is done by these administrators each year when determining renewal. When evaluating a first-year teacher, our expectations are different than those of evaluating a third-year teacher. We expect more from experience. Clinton Township has high expectations. The evaluation process is not arbitrary, but evidence-based. Teachers are quoted and observations made about the interactions in the classroom with students. The third year, otherwise known as the tenure year, is reviewed very carefully in this context of our need for a strong and nurturing classroom environment and skilled instruction. 10 of the 12 teachers in their tenure year, using the same evaluation system as Mrs. King, were recommended for renewal. And 8 of those teachers were from the same school, again, using the same evaluation system. I certainly recognize this teacher's strengths, but I am also aware of performance deficiencies as noted in her evaluations. As administrators charged with making a recommendation that would currently give third-year teachers lifetime tenure on renewal, any performance deficiency is considered very seriously. These were noted in Mrs. King's end-of-year evaluation, and concerns exist regarding them in relationship to a lifetime position in our schools. I am maintaining my recommendation to the board on her non-renewal.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. Mr. Gagliardi, would you please summarize at this point in time what the options are for the board members?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. All right, at this point in time, the hearing is concluded, and the Board of Education members have the option, if they so choose, to make a motion to offer a contract of employment, notwithstanding the absence of a recommendation from the administration to provide such a contract. If such a motion is made and seconded, it would be debated by the board. And if no such motion is made, the hearing is concluded and the board can go about continuing with the personnel agenda.
Thank you. At this time, are there any members of the Board of Education that would like to make a motion to offer Barbara King a contract for employment for the 2013-14 school year? Seeing none. We're going to end the hearing, and we're going to move on with the board business. Okay, we are in the personnel and negotiations section of the meeting. Dan McTiernan is the chair of the P&N committee. Mr. McTiernan, could you please summarize the activities of your committee since the last board meeting?
Certainly. Over the past couple of months, we've met a number of times with the Clinton Township Teachers Association, the intent of which is to come up with a contract before the end of June, which is the expiration of the current contract. Our next meeting is scheduled for this coming up Tuesday, May 28th. At this time, we have a number of areas where we seem to be close to agreement, but we also have an area or two that we are significantly far apart, and additional work is necessary in order to reach agreement to move forward. I think both sides still look at the opportunity and are committed to ensuring or doing, putting forth our best efforts to ensure that a contract is signed by the end of June, and both sides will continue to do that. We will be scheduling a couple of extra meetings. We have one on the 28th. We will be scheduling some others on that at that meeting also. For the Personnel Negotiations Committee, we do have a number of items up for approval. Most of these are due to reconciliations of data and activities and also some data corrections. We have the standard bringing people on that follows our policy practices and procedures. We have a number of people that we need to get caught up with as far as making sure that they're appropriately compensated, for example, for their mentoring. We are adjusting some dates of hire that are incorrect in one system. We're not doing anything to any one individual. We're just correcting or doing record keeping on this. Also, we have a number of items putting out for the teachers who will be, I think, at the eighth grade dance. And also, in retrospect, we have from the Art Fest that took place last week, a number of teachers putting in, which they're entitled to do, is an hourly rate for their participation in those events. So with that, I would submit for our approval is those 24 items, which are items PN220 through PN244.
Okay, so we're seeking a motion for PN220 through PN244.
So moved.
By Maria Grant and a second.
I'll second it.
By John Higgins. Any discussion on 220 through 244?
I have one quick question on PN222, the 300 hours for summer help for technology. Dr. Clark, that's for the Google transition?
Yes.
And then the hours per week per person will not exceed 40 hours or 36 hours, is that correct? Thank you.
Any other discussion on the PNN action items? I was looking for that. Oh, okay, I'll bring it up then. Okay, got it. No. Oh, yeah, we did. Okay. Okay, any additional discussion on PNN 220 through 244? Seeing none, can we please have a roll call vote?
Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Oh, yes, motion carries.
Moving on to our Policy and Curriculum Committee, Rachel McLaughlin is the chair of this committee. Ms. McLaughlin, could you please summarize the activities of your committee since the last board meeting?
Sure. Our committee met on May 9th for an extended period of time. Our committee met on May 9th for an extended period of time. It seems like we can't have a meeting that's shorter than 3 hours. Even though there are not a lot of action items on the agenda, we are having long discussions about various things that are currently affecting our district, including the new teacher evaluation law, Achievement NJ. We're having a lengthy discussion on professional development. We discussed map testing and Study Island. A couple of notes that are not on the agenda. Study Island is a program that's available to all elementary and middle school students in our district. Many of the teachers are using this program in their classrooms. We are going to do a little bit of publicity for Study Island so that over the summer more of the parents are aware that they can use this program at home. Map testing is beginning in some of the schools. I noticed in the Friday Fast Facts, the map testing email went out, making parents aware that in the elementary grades, along with their report cards, they'll be receiving their map scores. We are going to be not utilizing map testing in the middle school, and we're looking at other electronic benchmarks. We had some issues with our servers in terms of making map testing effective. In addition to that, you'll see on the agenda tonight that we are going to be approving the format math program in eighth grade. We did a survey. Overwhelmingly, it was positively received by both students and staff members. So we will be continuing that into next year. We have a few field trips that we're going to be approving on the agenda. And I think that's it for agenda items. And with that being said, I'm going to put forth action item 13PC035 and 13PC036.
Mr. Gagliardi, does that consist of motion, the way Rachel presented it, putting forward tonight? Can we consider that a motion?
Absolutely.
Okay. We have a motion for PC035 through PC036 and seeking a second.
Second.
By Michelle Sullivan. Any discussion on 035 or 036? Seeing none, could we please have a roll call vote?
Ms. Presti?
Yes.
Mr. Kreda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Moving on to our Communications Committee. Maria Grant is the chair of this committee. Ms. Grant, could you please summarize the activities of your committee since the last board meeting?
Certainly. Our committee did not meet. However, we are working through email and through phone conversations because of a lack of evening times and spaces to actually meet. Last month, we committed to taking our survey that asked people what they wanted in the Clinton to see in the Clinton Township school pages. That survey initially went out to parents of children within our district. We have since have a blurb that's going to go into the Clinton Township newsletter, both the hard copy newsletter as well as the electronic, that will let people know that this survey is available. It will have the link, and then the survey will be reopened till the end of June so people can submit their feelings and likes for what should be in the Clinton Township newsletter. At the end of June, we will tally all that information from the parents as well as community members and share that with the board. We will also meet in June. We've collected a significant amount of positive feedback on the website as well as some areas or suggestions for improvements on the website, some additions and some alterations to what's on the website. So we will meet in June to work on that and then set a plan for prioritizing those items and then getting those done over the course of the next 4 months or so. We've also had some other discussions about some other surveys we may want to do. Not quite prepared to release that information yet, but that'll come out shortly.
Thank you, Mrs. Grant. Any discussion on communication by any board member? Seeing none, we'll move on to old business. Does any member of the Board of Education have any old business they would like to discuss?
I have one item. I just wanted to know if we could possibly just give another update about the barn.
Barn.
Dr. Clark, could you do that,
please? The barn. We are awaiting information from the Historical Department of Environmental Protection. We have sent them a letter asking them to check if there's any back information that we're not aware of. Because there are archaeological covenants regarding the property itself and the cleanup process. So due to those covenants, based on wetlands some archaeology involved on the property, we have to be very, very cautious of how we clean up the property. I'm very anxious to get it cleaned up before the next hurricane season and hoping that the Department of Environmental Protection will respond and allow us to move forward.
Thank you.
Mrs. McLaughlin, our architect is helping us navigate that process. They're the ones that are communicating with DEP and trying to move it along.
I was thinking maybe we could put something out in the Friday Fast Facts just because a lot of people are noticing that it's still there, and maybe we could just make them aware of what's holding us up.
I can do that. I can send something to the principals.
Is there any other old business, members of the Board of Ed? Okay, moving on, is there any new business from the Board of Ed? Does any board members want to discuss any new business? I have one, so let's not move on yet. Mrs. Grant, you mentioned we were talking about some surveys, and I just wanted to bring it up here because we're together as a board. Mrs. Grant and I had talked about a potential survey regarding bus routing. We have most of our bus routes are under new contract. We went out for an RFP. We selected one new vendor. Some of the routes went to the old vendor ESC. but most of our bus routes are under new contracts starting in the fall. We're also going to be moving to a new bus routing service provider, the company that actually plans and manages the routes. I have three kids in the schools, and I'm at the schools, and I see a lot of parents dropping kids off, including myself at times, and I just thought I'd like to get more information about what drives people to drop the kids off versus using the buses. I have my own opinions, but I'm sure there's a lot of opinions on that subject, and I wanted to see what you all thought about doing a survey around drop-offs versus bus.
What's the purpose of the survey? Just to figure out why people drop their kids off? Or are you looking to try to alleviate some crowding on bus routes?
My thought was to try and give more information to the new bus routing service provider to help them build the routes, to see if we could potentially build routes that would encourage people to participate more fully in using the bus. Right now, if we pick a new service provider without giving them additional information, we're likely to wind up with a similar routing plan and a similar participation in busing. I don't know that that can change, but I think it would be a good idea to get more information about what drives people not to use the buses.
May I share something?
Please.
One of the things that I've been doing as I've gone around the district is listening to the teachers talk to me about all kinds of issues, one of them being attendance and tardiness and concerns about that. And one of the things that parents have said to me is that because the routes sometimes take a bit, they have to pick the kids up earlier than school actually starts, and so to get on a bus, so they have to ride the bus a little bit longer. They have to get up earlier, and the kids, the parents drive the kids because they get to sleep a little bit later, and that's part of what the issue is. So I have talked to the middle school teachers some, because we know that research has been telling us that middle school kids really need to sleep later for their own physical growth and well-being, and our little kids get up earlier. So if you notice, our schools actually are the exact opposite of what we say our kids' needs are. Our younger schools start later, our older kids start earlier. So it might be something to consider for the future that we flip those schools. There are some issues around sports, and I've been talking to the coaches about that to see what can be done about that because of the times that sports run after school. But it's something that we might want to look at and consider for the future. Do a flip.
Thank you. So any other feedback on the idea of doing a survey around this topic? Do you guys think it's a good idea? Is it not necessary? Is it necessary?
I think it's fine. Data's good.
Okay. Throw a pickup in there, too, while you're at it.
A pickup?
Yeah. Lines and lines of pickup.
Oh, I got you. The
pickup. Yeah. Why?
Okay. So I'll follow up with Mrs. Grant, and we'll report back at a future board meeting. Any other new business from members of the board? Moving on to the second recognition of the public. At this time, a member of the public can speak to the Board of Ed about any topic. It does not have to be on the agenda. Please just approach one of the mics, tell us who you are and where you live, and try to restrict your comments to 3 minutes if you can. Would anybody like to speak to the board in second recognition of the public? Seeing no comments at this time, we're moving on to our second executive session. Mrs. Spitzer, could you please read the notice?
Good
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meetings Act NJSA 10:4-6 requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12B sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12B to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any collective bargaining agreement or the terms and conditions of which are proposed for inclusion in any collective bargaining agreement, including the negotiation of terms and conditions with employees or representatives of employees of the public body. The collective bargaining contract discussed are a status update between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Education Association. And whereas any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiations in which the public body is or may become a party, any matters falling within the attorney-client privilege, to the extent that confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties of a lawyer, and the nature of the discussion described as specifically as possible without undermining the need of confidentiality, is the shared services agreement between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Lebanon Borough Board of Education, and the shared services agreement between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Public Board of Education. Whereas the length of executive session is estimated to be 2 hours, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Before we vote on the motion to go into executive session, I just want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. When the executive session is over, we will not be taking any action. We'll be ending the meeting. So thank you for coming. It's nice to see everybody here, and the school year is ending. Thank you all very much for your hard work and support during the year, and we would love to see you all in the June, July, and August meetings if you would like to come. If not, we will see you in the fall. Thank you very much. I'm seeking a motion on executive session.
So moved.
All seconded.
Moved by Kevin Malloy, seconded by John Higgins.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We are now in executive session.